Welcome to The Defiant Spirit, a podcast about meaning, purpose, and resilience. I'm Dr. Baruch Halevi, also known as B, and now let's discover your Defiant Spirit.
So welcome back to the Defiant Spirit podcast. It's been a minute since I've done one solo. I've kept them going with my partner in all things Viktor Frankl, Dr. Daniel France, so you can certainly listen to those, but took a bit of a pause because I'm ramping up with my newest endeavor project called Man Uprising. Man Uprising is for men who want to rise up in the second half of life. I see this as a profound service to not only the men, but to their families, to their partner, their spouse, in most cases their wives, to their community, to their country, to the world. So, you know, I've gotten some pushback a little bit about like, why isn't for women, or why am I not offering something for women? I'm not a woman. I can't speak to, you know, a group of women like I can to a man. I also work in tandem with my wife, who's a healer, and she works exclusively with women. So it's really a nice complimentary offering to the men who all those women are with or married to, and all the men out there who need this conversation, especially around the second half of life. You know, nobody has given us a roadmap, shown us what's ahead of us when we hit that midlife mark, however you want to define that. I tend to say it's 40. In this day and age, I think it's more 45. But, you know, somewhere between late 30s to onwards, I don't put an end on that, because it's not just about midlife, it's about the second half of life, that we need guides, we need tools, we need new goals, new rules. And so Man Uprising is just that. It's drawing upon wisdom traditions. I draw upon Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, Buddhism, Hinduism, mindfulness, Buddhist mindfulness meditation practice, Hinduism and yoga practices, lots of psychology, Carl Jung in particular, depth psychology, and of course, my passion and purpose, Dr. Viktor Frankl, logotherapy. Jung is going deep into the darkness, shadows. Frankl says his is height psychology, going into the aspiration, what's possible, the future, where we're headed, bringing in those, the Enneagram, so much more. So it's all now woven together. You can learn more about it at manuprising.org. That will show you how to get to the man cave for any man wanting to jump into the man cave. That's where the conversations are happening or starting to happen. It's really just newly launched. So you'll be one of the first to be over there, or send your man over there. Could be your son, could be your father, could be your husband, could be a friend, could be you. So again, that's sort of the context of it. And over in the man cave, we're having meaningful conversations. We're going to be ramping up more. We're going to be watching movies and then talking about them in Zoom gatherings, call them fireside chats over in the man cave. So we're going to have peer groups. We already have one. We're launching another one here in Denver, but we'll be launching them virtually, and we'll be scaling it out eventually beyond virtually around the country. So that's sort of an overview of the man uprising philosophy or direction. And I have a book that's in the man cave now, and it's free along with videos. It's multimedia sort of experience for anybody, any man over there. The peer groups cost, but the rest of it is complimentary. It's free. We're building community. And it will be a book in print in the near future. So bottom line is, I want to talk to you about a core concept in the man cave. Now, it was only recently given to me, this word, the concepts woven throughout my life. I've been grappling with it for the past 30 years, guiding men around it for the past 20 plus years, and or had already written the book before I was introduced to this word. But this word just hit for me. It sums it up. And more than the word, it's where it comes from. It's actually a make-believe word, but it comes from Seinfeld. I've been finding so many worthy clips to make it into my Man Uprising curriculum, but none more worthy than this. It's, and I'll put a link to it below. It's when Cosmo Kramer, and you just gotta love Cosmo, comes running in as he always does to Jerry and says, "Jerry, I have something about, you know, I'm out of control. My animal magnetism has now crossed the line." He had attracted to himself a nun to the point where she was so attracted to Kramer, she was about to leave the church. And Kramer was, you know, torn up about this. And Jerry was thought it was, you know, ridiculous, not possible. Lo and behold, we find out he actually does have this primal animal magnetism. He goes to the church, he confesses to the priest, and the priest says, you know, in a thick, I don't know what accent, Hungarian accent or something, you have the Kavorka, the Kavorka. And he's like, what's the Kavorka? The primal animal desire. And you can feel it has like this satanic, devilish quality to it. So they want to expel it from Kramer's life. He gives him this concoction of garlic cloves and vinegar and then something else, and he doesn't say what, and we cut to the next scene. As an aside, put in the chat below what you think the other ingredient or ingredients were that the priest gave Cosmo Kramer to get rid of this primal animal magnetism to finish up the formula of the Kavorka. I think it's an interesting question. Anyways, the next few scenes are Kramer wearing this stupid concoction, and lo and behold, the Kavorka is gone, and that's something to be celebrated. Kavorka is real. It is absolutely real. It's a thing. Primal animal desire magnetism. You know it when you're with somebody who has that thing. And oftentimes, it's, you know, I'm only speaking to men here, because again, this man uprising, it's felt in the 20-something-year-old man. Like almost every 20-something has it. The challenge is it's out of control, right? This animal desire, there's different names for it. You know, you can call it sexual impulse. In Kabbalah, it's called the Yetzirah, the inclination of destruction. So you can already hear a pejorative, a negative framing of it. It's not. I mean, even according to the Kabbalists, our job is not to get rid of it. There are consequences when you get rid of the Kavorka. Devastating consequences. There are also devastating consequences when you give yourself over to it. You know, we call this hedonism. And I don't just mean like from a moralistic perspective, hedonism. I mean the shallowness, the destruction, right? The pathetic nature of a man who's given himself over to his Kavorka. And maybe it's interesting and necessary in your 20s, but that Kavorka goes on. You become Hugh Hefner. Like, yeah, we say we want to be Hugh Hefner. Wow, guy had an amazing life. It's pathetic. I mean, his legacy is he went wide, very wide. He did not go deep. That is not a legacy. At least men rising up in the second half of life want. Yeah, you want to go wide for a while. And I'm not just talking about sexual partners. I'm talking about across the surface of life, trying everything and letting that drive take you out into the world to do what you love. And even if it's not necessarily good for you, to at least have had the experience. But then there comes a point when you cross into the threshold of pathetic. Now, most guys I know don't go into the realm of allowing the Kavorka to overtake them. They don't find their way to me because they're, you know, looking to harness the Kavorka. Most guys who I start working with have gone the opposite direction. Now, I just rewatched for like the 1,000th time an important movie that deals with this, and it's American Beauty. Very much a part of my book. A lot of these things are. I've used a lot of movies, references to help men get in touch with these things. But if you want to see what happens to a man of midlife, Kevin Spacey's character, Lester Burnham, in the movie American Beauty, is a man who's lost the Kavorka. Or more accurately, he's chosen to get rid of it. It's not his fault, right? His character, just like most men of midlife, we're told at some point or all throughout the morning of life, the first half of life, it's bad. Get rid of it. You're selfish, right? It's animalistic. It's evil. It's immoral. And so we're made to feel bad about it. We're shown in 1,000 ways that we're supposed to domesticate it, to mute it, to sedate it. And when I meet a lot of men in the, what I call high noon of life, there's morning, 20s, 30s, there's afternoon, 40s, 50s, 60s onwards, there's high noon, somewhere in between there. I usually call it 40. That's when a man he needs the Kavorka, but he's lost it because he's sedated. He's domesticated. He's gotten rid of it. He's been told that it's bad so many times that he just sort of gives up. He gives up that passion. He gives up that desire. And he ends up going through the routines, right? Going through the motions, but not emotions. Going through the routines. I was told the routine is simply a rut, and a rut is simply a grave with both ends knocked out. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't commit to another partner, to a marriage, to a woman, and settle down. It doesn't mean you shouldn't stay in your job and be responsible. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't harness your kvorka. You should, but that's the word. Harness it. We are not here to get rid of it. We are also not here to be used by it. We're here to use the kvorka. One of my favorite quotes is by Friedrich Nietzsche, who said, "Verily, I've laughed at men who thought themselves to be good because they have no claws." What does Nietzsche say? You are not good because you have no claws, because you've pulled your claws, because you've allowed your partner to pull your claws. You are only good if you have claws and you don't use them. Otherwise, you're just impotent. Otherwise, you're just ineffectual. Otherwise, you're just mute. But if you have a voice and you choose not to use it or use it appropriately, if you have the claws, the sexual desire, the magnetism, and you choose to devote it to a partner or put it into your artwork or your profession, your calling, your kids, right? That's energy. The goal isn't to get rid of it. And by the way, spouses, women listening to this, you don't want your husband, your partner, to get rid of the kvorka. Do you know how many women I counsel who come to me talking about their kvorka-less husband who's lost his desire and he spends his days, his weekends on the couch watching, you know, different season, different sport, or playing fantasy football, or out hitting a white little ball around green grass for 6 hours at a pop and neglecting her or the family, or has lost his zest for life, or doesn't want to experience and express that in the bedroom anymore. It is tragic for her, for him, for them. It is the beginning of the end. Maybe they don't get divorced, but there is a lifelessness and a dead quality in a marriage where a man has lost his kvorka. Again, two-way street, same with her, but it's not what this is about. You don't want to get rid of the kvorka. You want to harness it. Great teaching in Kabbalah says that they were sick and tired of the kvorka, the yetzirah, the destructive inclination. And one day they found it out wandering as in the form of a fiery lion. Why that is kind of obvious, but there's deeper reasons. Anyways, they captured the lion, and they essentially were going to kill it, this fiery lion. But before they did, they thought, you know, maybe we should test something out. They put it into a lead pot. I guess the kvorka can't escape a lead pot. It's as good as dead while it's inside there. And what happened? They did this for a three-day experiment. And what happened during those days when the kvorka was inaccessible to the men? There were no male chickens wanted to impregnate the female chickens. There were no eggs as a consequence to eat breakfast. Men didn't want to go out and work the land or defend the borders, and chaos was near ensuing because of it. The lifelessness was going to destroy the enterprise. And so they decided they were going to let the fiery lion out, the kvorka out, but not before blinding one of its eyes. And that was really, I think, their way of saying, look, we can't go back to the way it was, a full-sided, rampant kvorka fire out there reigning supreme, but we also can't kill it. So we're going to limit it. We're going to harness it. We're going to use it and not be used by it. And that's really what this comes down to. Kevin Spacey's character, it's amazing to watch this guy come awake, to start to get hold of the kvorka. At first, it's pretty brutal and crass and unrefined, but over time, he starts to refine the kvorka. At first, he thinks it's about sex. It's about getting laid. It's about that character played by Mia. I forgot her last name, Savino or something. And he thinks it's about her. And then when he finally gets to her, he realizes it's not about her. It's about all of the fire that she reawakened with him. And when he gets to her, he realizes she's just a young girl and this is inappropriate and he doesn't need to go this route anymore. And that was his epiphany, his wake up in the movie, where he had reclaimed the kvorka. He had learned how to harness it, to use it and not be used by it. And he was back in his life, full vitality as a man. That's the work that we have to do in the second half of life. And again, it's not about sex. Sex is an expression of kavorka done right, but it is not the kavorka itself. The kavorka is a primal desire, a desire that as long as I'm in the game, there is more to do than play fantasy football or occupy my time, you know, putting balls around a grass. Nothing wrong with it, guys. Absolutely nothing wrong. Until we're using it to domesticate, to sedate, as Kevin Spacey's character says, right? And there's a thousand ways we can sedate ourselves. We can numb the kavorka to the point where we think we've made it gone away. The good news for you is, I don't care how many drugs you're on, I don't care how many hobbies you have, I don't care how many ways you found to sedate it, it's still there. The lion has just been neglected, has atrophied, has withered, but has not died. Our job as men rising up in the second half of life is to have discussions about the kavorka, is to create tools. In my man cave, I have probably close to 100 tools now. I have my curriculum. It's all about learning what the kavorka is, what it is not, what it can do, what it shouldn't do, how to harness it and use it, and how to not be used by it, and to have this conversation in a community of men, because that's a defining difference between morning of life boys and afternoon of life men. The morning of life boys just tried to bootstrap it, figure this shit out alone, or doing it by looking at other lost boys in Neverland and getting more lost themselves. The afternoon is about real guys having real conversations about the kavorka and the damage it's done, that they've allowed by letting it run roam free, but also the consequences of having gotten rid of it or given it away. And so ultimately, it's about men learning how to harness the kavorka, to live a life with claws, to use them, to not be used by them, to go out and do good in the world with it, and not to declaw ourselves, not to get rid of this primal desire, because it's not bad and it's not good. It's defined by what the man chooses to do with it, that it makes it good or makes it bad, which is true about anything in life. So that's really an ingredient. It is not the only ingredient, probably not even the key ingredient in Man Uprising, but certainly a central ingredient that we got to get this one right if we're going to bake the cake, so to speak, to come out right. Right? Too much salt, too little salt can ruin the cake. So it's not the only ingredient. It's an essential ingredient. If you want to have conversations about the kavorka, by the way, that'll be our first Man Uprising movie coming soon. I haven't set a date, but it'll probably be in early May that we're going to gather. We're going to watch the movie ahead of time. You're on your own for that. The movie's American Beauty and the kavorka clip. And we're going to talk about in the man cave over a Zoom fireside chat. You can join us live. What the kavorka is and how it's played out or hasn't played out in our lives. Share this with your men. Ladies and men, jump into the man cave. Again, you can get there by just going to manuprising.org. Share it with your friends who are men midlife onwards. Define that however you want. Again, loosely 40 and onwards. It's up to you. Who are ready and willing and wanting to rise up in the second half of life. I'll see you over in the man cave. Until the next time, rise up in the second half of life. Thank you for listening to the Defiant Spirit Podcast with me, your host, Dr. Baruch Halevi. If you like what you heard, please consider leaving a 5-star review and share this podcast with others. To learn more about the Defiant Spirit, get more inspirational content, or see how we might work together to live your Defiant Spirit, visit DefiantSpirit.org. Until then, take back your power and live your Defiant Spirit.